Hey everybody, I'm Jody Vance.
And I'm George Affleck.
And today we have to, you know what, George, we have to start local. There's so much to talk about internationally. We're going to talk here in Metro Vancouver first, then we're going to go to BC. Did you know there's a soccer ball made out of wood leather? We're going to go federally, both on the wildfire front as well as on Mark Carney's first foray into question period over the last couple of weeks. We'll talk about that. And then we'll get into what is becoming a full throttled throwdown between Elon Musk and President Donald Trump. This is
Unspun. Okay, so you want to start local?
local, and I sent you this last night because I mean both of us get communications from Vancouver. I don't even know how many communications people there are in Vancouver. Old joke for those who've been around since Unspun began.
290 episodes.
I received a rather elaborate, lengthy release from the City of Vancouver at 4:54 p.m. on Wednesday evening. So moments before puck drop of game one of the Stanley Cup final. Is this buried on a Wednesday? Is this the ultimate burying? And it was all about Granville Entertainment District or the revitalization of Granville Street. What did you see in that release that likely was being hidden?
I don't know. I don't understand. It's good news for, I mean, generally
Right?
this process was very positive. The people who came to speak were mostly for it, unusually. I think, any solution for Granville, and in fact, this actual, if you look back at my emotions over the years when I was on council, this is pretty much exactly what I proposed in 2012,
That's what I thought.
and then think again in 2016 or 15. I proposed
Yeah.
it. I gave two shots at it. Including buses, getting buses off Granville, which is great. I don't know why this was such a problem. Get them off there.
It worked for the Olympics. You've said it a
I
million times,
know.
George. Oh my God, I'm starting with George's right again. This might be our last podcast.
I
I
love it.
can't.
I love
We cannot
it.
agree. We cannot.
But I don't understand a bad news release. Sure, something that's controversial. Yeah, I get it. But this is a good news release. I mean, so I don't understand it. I guess it just happened, and so they wanted to get it out there. But it's just strange. I mean, with all those communications people, you'd think there'd be a better strategy, like a press conference
I was looking
warning
at it
or.
looking for what was wrong, and I'm going through it and I'm like, oh, well, that sounds like a cleaned up bar district that is going to be, expanded with patios and more outdoor spaces for people and outdoor performance spaces. That was something that I was like, oh,
Where'd that come from?
live performances in
On the street?
Vancouver? Oh, what's next? What's next? A place for families down there? That's there too.
On the street.
Oh my
Eyes on the street.
gosh. Right. Okay.
So
So that's good
it's
news with the
just
Granville.
weird. Just weird that they would do it. I don't get it. But because you think they'd hold, because this guy needs the mayor needs some good news. And this is fairly good news. The challenge is it's election in a year. A little over a year, let's say it's a year. Last council will be around this time next year. So, not much of this project will be underway by that time. It'll take a long engineering and all the reports and all the put it RFP and blah, 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 blah. It'll be, a good year. It might have
At
shovels in the
least.
ground, maybe, but unlikely that he will benefit politically from this for next year because it'll be ancient history by that point. And if nothing's happening yet, then it's the same old on Granville. So, the one of the few wins that that we have in Vancouver for ABC and Ken Sim, it's probably not going to benefit him. The only other one is this, of course, park board, if that happens.
Great. So let's get to that because the City of Vancouver withdrew their lawsuit, I guess, are we calling that? Like trying to get the park board dissolved until the premier and the provincial government weighs in on it being, more of a hammer from the province, which we all know we'll get to the province in a second, but we all know that the province is a little busy right now. I don't know that Vancouver Park Board is a priority on the list of things that this province needs to worry about. And yet, at the same time, George, I'm going on 2 years without being in Kitzpool. And right now, it is June 5th, and
Temperatures weekend,
there's not
temperatures
even
weekend.
water in the pool. There's no water in the pool.
It's 28 degrees
how
this
many
weekend.
tax dollars
20,
have we spent on this
29 on
pool?
Sunday. 29 degrees on Sunday.
29 degrees on Sunday. Yeah.
What is happening? I've heard
What is happening?
that my sort, I mean, the kids' pool and park board in general, you know, we are well documented on our feelings about park board management. But I've heard through my sources that David Eby is not only opposed to the park, he personally is opposed to the park board being dismantled, and he's opposed to the train to UBC, the Sky Train to UBC. And that's why neither of those files have moved forward, because he personally is opposed to them, and nobody quite knows why.
Yeah,
Because
that was my next question. Why would you oppose that? We're like transit to our largest university?
his riding, very anti everything
Yeah.
in that riding. So, you
Well, I'm in
know,
that riding, so not everybody's anti
not
everything.
everybody, it's
Yeah.
true. But I would say that it's, you know, it's going to be above grounds part of the
Yeah.
way. I think people won't like that. So, and then I don't get the park board thing. He just, I think again, they're a strong voice on the west side in support of the park board. So he may be spooked by
Right.
that those voices, as opposed to going on instinct, which, you know, I think generally would be most Vancouverites would be, thank God. I mean, it's kind of anti-democratic, and that's where people go at us. And Twitter is how can we again be against the democratic institution, the dismantling of a democratic institution. But it's redundant. It's a redundant institution,
Yes,
and that's
thank
the
you.
issue.
It's not about people having the right to have a voice. I want to have a voice in how my parks are run in my city. I definitely
Yeah.
do. It's the fact that park board is unique to this city. And somehow, some way, parks everywhere but Vancouver are beautiful. They're beautiful. They're well kept. And some of them are massive. Some of them are, extensive. It's like almost like wildlife sanctuaries that have to be kept up and kept safe and kept clean and all of that. And somehow, elected officials in those jurisdictions are able to do that, but our park board, who are so busy tackling causes that have nothing to do with our parks, that's the part that really gets me. Why do you care how I access the pool? Why does it have to be online? Because you decided it's online. Open the pool. Let people go to the pool. If you want to make sure you get the best spot in the pool, you get there first, you line up, and you get in. This is
Yeah,
not
and I think,
hard.
and for those people, one of the arguments, as you know, is that people will go there and literally camp. Like, I've seen people at Kids Pool set up
Yeah.
their little mini tents.
Little,
You got to
yep.
say, you know what? You can't do that. You can
You
come
can't do
in,
that.
you go swimming, you spend a couple hours here, you should be getting out. You can't stay here all day. I mean,
Right.
people might, but not with a tent and setting up like a permanent little space there. You got
There's
to
no
move
table
on.
and chairs and a
Yeah,
picnic
you
that
can't have
is
that.
laid out for, yeah, like a
No.
small event. It
Yeah, no,
can't
you,
be in a I get that.
yeah,
I, you
so.
know.
But that's just walk along and say, hey guys, no.
Right. We're too busy walking along going, can I look in your cooler to make sure you don't have a beer in there?
Yes. I was speaking to somebody else about
Seriously.
the pool in the West End and the decision to make it only 25 meters and how controversial that is. And then this person's arguing, and this inside City Hall person, and they're saying, well, because with the new facility, first of all, that longer pool will be much too expensive. And I'm like, well, what expense? Like, okay. Sure, it's capital expense, but park board doesn't spend any money anyways. And then the argument, of course, is that it's family friendly. That's much more used for families. But I'm going, but if you,
Right.
as a parent and who's, you know, have kids, but my kids weren't swimmers, but generally, if you want them to become a swimmer, they need to swim in the correct pools. And why can't we have the best of both worlds? Why do we have to have, like, why?
We are the, for now, the largest city in the province. We are a quote unquote world class city. And it absolutely makes no sense to build something in 2025 that is already obsolete for the things that we tout as what we want to be. We want to be a destination for big events. Well, let me tell you, an Olympic sized pool would bring competitions to that pool that could be world-class events, that wouldn't need to suddenly be built with like this frantic last-minute pace that we see sometimes when we're like, oh my God, we're going to get the World Cup. It's like, let's prepare and let's give an opportunity to train our athletes. Let's be big picture thinking. Let's think about bringing people here across the country to train in this beautiful environment in the middle of winter. You bring your swim team here for nationals. You bring your And then on top of that, just people who can
Yeah.
access it. I don't need a lazy river. I
I
want
know.
a
What's the
lazy
deal with
river
that?
in
And
a
Frank,
water park. You put that in the water park
the one
over
at
there.
Hillcrest? Not nice. Not
No,
nice.
it takes up all kinds of
Gross.
space. Even
Like a
the
hot tub.
babies, it is like a hot tub, but the babies don't benefit from it. It's a one and done. I don't know. Anyway, I digress. I could talk about pools all day.
So without the West End, will there be no beside and kids pool? Is there not another Olympic sized pool in Vancouver?
There is just UBC.
That's on Vancouver. So we get rid of the one Olympic sized pool we have in the city besides Kits, which
Correct.
is 100 longer than Olympic size.
Yeah, kids' pool is 137 and a half meters long.
And I live in Yaletown. Most apartments in Yaletown have pools. So
And
we
also,
have a family pool.
kids' pool is not wide enough to have lanes for racing and training. It is one big lane and one
Okay.
big slow lane, and it's curved, right? So
Right.
I'm
Okay.
working in my curved communications. Curved.
Nice.
Okay, so let's talk. Provincially speaking, there's a bit of a throwdown going down between Premier David Eby and Danielle Smith. Of course, David Eby is mentioned in Japan during the first minister's meeting with Mark Carney, which was kind of interesting timing for him to not be here to have that, but he wasn't, and nobody seemed,
Yeah. Nobody missed them.
I mean, this side of the Rockies doesn't really count anyway, unless you talk about getting resources to market, like Danielle Smith brought up,
It's
right?
kind of important. Kind of important.
I know, it's just a wild. Where do you see the let's go with interprovincial trade, right? We already know that David Eby is on board with pulling down interprovincial trade barriers. There are some provinces who are not as engaged. Mark Carney ran on having them all down by July 1st. Highly unlikely that everything's done by Canada Day. You know more about politics than I do. Was that just a campaign promise that we're going to see probably into the next election cycle?
Aspirational, Jody. It's
Yeah.
aspirational.
Yeah.
Give it a shot and give it a shot. But a couple are down already. Ontario and I think Quebec have already negotiated Manitoba, so they're kind of doing their thing anyways. It really has little to do with the federal government and more to do with the provinces getting their shit together. So I just think it's all. I always found it bizarre that we have these kind of borders of
And
trade within our own country. It's like what? To protect
I only
wine?
understand it when you come to like PEI, right? PEI and potatoes, you know, because a bigger
Yeah.
potato farmer elsewhere could crush PEI potatoes, but
Okay. Yeah. They get have not province anyways. So they get so much money from all of us who are have provinces. So, but yeah, I guess you could destroy them and they have to be then become a resort community or something, which is what people try to keep
they
doing
are
in the
anyway.
PEI. Well,
Yeah,
it's not much there, but
they kind of are. Well,
yeah,
that's where all
family's
the
from.
hockey people go. They all have cottages there. That's
Yeah,
where they
well,
go
my
in the off
family's
season.
from there, right? And my cousin, my dad's from PEI, and she's always like, "You should move here. Look at my house. I have two houses. You can have this one. It's only
Yeah, but
$30,000
you
or whatever." It's
gotta
like,
live on that little teeny tiny island.
I know, and it snows like 8 months of the year. So sorry, PEI.
Right.
Anyways,
How do you think Mark Carney's been doing so far in the Prime Minister's seat
yeah, I think he's being in
office?
question period. I think he's been very, very, entertaining and effective as far as the show performance side, because I know when I first got elected, I came out of the gate with all guns ablazing, and people were like, "What? Where did this guy come from?" Because I
Right.
knew
They're
there
like,
was a
this
yeah, this
rookie won't know
rookie
what
is
he's
really
doing in
yeah.
council.
I know so they were just thinking I would just sit back and take it, and I immediately did not, and as you know, so I think, and because I had no experience, and then Mark Carney had no experience, you think he's a guy, he's a banker. Like, what kind of banker goes? I had taken acting classes, and performance for me was fairly easy. But you think a banker, you don't really experience in performance.
But think about how many boardrooms he's commanded, right? As the governor of Bank of Canada and as governor of Bank of England, and just being a high level C-suite executive, like he has definitely had countless interactions at the very top highest level. So I on the campaign trail, watching him and not knowing him very well, other than over the course of his career, tapping in and being grateful for some of the work he's done, frankly, especially in the crash in 2008, protecting Canada. I wasn't sure if he could handle like the heckle, because in the campaign leading up, he the times that he was rattled was when somebody was coming at him from like some rando faux news, what are they?
Yeah.
I don't even know. Just disruptors who would like toss him a ridiculous question and he'd kind of snap back. But he almost like is coming into QP with that just a little bit of wryness, right? Like he's got that smile, kind of almost giggling a bit to himself because he's like, oh, wait a minute, watch this fact, watch this
Well,
fact,
it's true. And I think
fact, fact,
actually
fact.
the difference between that and say journalists, or people that say, why are you wearing a suit in the Oval Office? People, journalists,
Right.
and being in the House where there's no, like, there's rules, but basically you are all on the same playing field here. You are all it's question period's attack mode all the time. It's the whole point of question period is everybody just go crazy for 20 minutes, and then we'll for the news,
Waste
the
of time.
cameras, and then
Nice
we'll get back
waste of
to
time.
sitting there reading
Work.
reports, and half of the place is empty.
Yeah.
I think it's a show. Everybody is equal in that, in the abuse and the silliness and the craziness. And so if you look at it from that point of view, it's less intimidating, I think, for a person to know that, hey, you're gonna attack me, I gotta attack you. It's not like you attacking a journalist or a citizen or
You're
whatever.
ready for
So
it, is what you're saying. You're
yeah.
prepared. You're like, okay, we're going in. Someone's coming for me, and then I'll get my chance. And it's like playing a little bit of tennis
That's right. And some of it's
or ping
orchestrated, and a lot
pong.
of the sometimes they know what the other guys are bringing in, so they pre-prep. It's all a bit of a show that's pre-dramatized for the purposes of our consumption as viewers and listeners and readers, because it shows that there's great debate in the parliament, and that they're not doing nothing, just reading and passing bills and being boring. So it's a bit of an intentional piece of governance that makes us feel good about ourselves as people who vote for these guys.
Yeah, it's been more interesting to watch QP with the new PM in there. Sad moment though, obviously, when they rose for a moment of silence in the passing of Mark Garneau.
Yeah, that was surprising. I didn't like that. I was like, what? I mean, he's only 76. I guess that's older, but I'm like looking at my number and going, that was sad. He was like, obviously, for me as a kid and growing up, and like he was the guy. So,
Hero guy, hero
hero
guy. A
guy.
moment of silence, and Andrew Scheer could not stay still for it. Checked his phone, rustled his papers, looked
Really? I didn't
around.
see
Yeah,
that.
it was really, yeah.
That's
Have a
not
look
cool.
at the moment, and he's down in the bottom. As you're looking at it, he's down bottom right, and the whole time he's just
I know politicians like that.
like you can stand still for 1 minute. You can. That's what a moment of silence is for. It's
Yeah.
taking a moment to think about the person who has passed, their family and loved ones. Okay. One more before we head south of the border. Well, this kind of takes us there. We've seen a lot from Premier Ford on, obviously, with Donald Trump taco pissed him off enough to say, you know what? 50% on steel and aluminum. So, here
Yeah.
we go. But Doug Ford saying we're not hitting back hard enough, and yet he's the guy that, or I guess it was Pierre Poilievre that said we're not hitting back hard enough, that our elbows are down. But Doug Ford, who had threatened before when tariffs were put on steel and aluminum at this level or higher, he said, you know what, I might cut off electricity to these states that count on us so much. No real mention of that now.
This is the ultimate question, and I think we talked about it when this was all heating up. And this is the argument I think Danielle Smith makes a little bit, is are counter tariffs effective? Okay, they're tariffing our stuff down there. They can, and that's going to hurt our as we saw today, the numbers are 7.5 billion trade deficit
Just for the month of April.
just for the month. It's brutal. So that's not good. And so I guess you capture some of that revenue back through tariffs up here that then you distribute through whatever. So it's always a bit of a question mark. It's a war, economic war, which is what Ford has said. And that's true. But there are lots of ways to fight the war. One way is the elbows up, really, is and the pro-Canada, and that feeling that I get, and we were talking about this before the show, that there seems to be a sense of there's a pride thing, but there's also this, I feel people are quite bullish about the economy in Canada, and that they feel that, and I have a lot of clients, it's not great, but most of them are moving along as per usual, and they're paying, they're doing their advertising, they're getting their leads, there's real estate, you see the numbers are pretty good, they're starting to, perk up. I think we were all paralyzed there for a little bit, but I think, you know what, we just got to move on. And okay, we're going to have trade deficits for a while, and we're going to have to deal with this tariff thing. But how do we deal with it is the question. Is it just, counter tariffs to punish them? Is that who's that punishing us or them? Does America care? So this is
No,
where we're at,
but
and I think,
they need our aluminum. Like, they need it. It's like potash. These things are still true, no matter the bluster that one. And I feel for the Americans who are starting to really make noise about just not having any appetite for what their president is doing and how much damage it's bringing, and seeing the travel numbers absolutely spiral, because people are worried about, getting snatched up off the street and thrown in jail for just being there. Like, wow, that happened in 137 days or whatever it is. It's like,
I
it's
know
really
it's
quite something, isn't it? And the ban on 17 more countries banned yesterday,
yeah,
by
I'm confused about the World Cup and all that stuff. That's not like we can't get into that. But what I found interesting today, I think I don't see how the World Cup can go to the United States, but we'll see. They seem to think they're going to, although you see fake tweets all the time about it and fake news about it's not coming. I'm very confused about that, how that's whatever that is. But I unblocked somebody today because of his grace. It's great support, anti-support from Trump.
Hold, let's call it hold support.
Hold
It's like,
support.
oops, I didn't get what I wanted.
Elon Musk is on the anti-Trump bandwagon now. Welcome to the Canadian sense of feeling. He's bringing the Canada back into
Right.
him.
This is wild.
This is
Wild to
like.
watch. I mean, I saw the world, the breaking news, where Elon Musk decided to tweet about how the big, beautiful bill is, he can't stand it anymore. And those who voted for it, you should be ashamed of yourselves, and you know it. It's something to the effect of that. And he's like, has gone on, and then Trump sort of hits back. And so this performative giving the key to the White House to him that earlier that day, like, it was just. It's all just a reality TV show. It's bizarre, bizarre, bizarre. But where does it go now? Because Elon Musk clearly has enough money to primary Republicans in, he's literally campaigning now about voting out Republicans next November. Like,
I guess it'll help Tesla sales for the Democrats again,
will
maybe.
it though?
I don't know. I
I
mean,
don't think
clearly he's
so.
unstable, and I was watching
Yeah.
Piers Morgan interviewing Scott. God, I forgot his last name. Bald guy.
Dorkin?
No, he's an advertising guy actually, but he has all he's
Oh.
a Scott. Oh my God. Anyways, and he was on with Mr. Wonderful with Piers Morgan, and he was talking about. Why do we put people like Elon Musk on this pedestal? What is he contributing to? Okay, he's got,
I saw
an EV.
that interview.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Scott. Oh my God. So sorry. You come at me with that. That's totally
Yeah.
gone for me. Anyways.
We'll tweet it out with, because he did. He's like, what are we doing when
We put Elon
given.
Musk on his pedestal, who's basically, the statistically we're seeing these numbers of children that are dying, and we're seeing these real life stories of kids who were getting US aid and were getting aid, who are now dying of AIDS and dying of all these horrible diseases in Africa. These parents, there are multiple stories. They're saying 300,000, who knows? Even if it's 100 kids, just for, like it's a question of affluency. And this is I've always argued this and in politics when I was in office and that and that sure, oil and gas, you might argue is evil, but it gives us the ability to be affluent as a country, and then we can be generous. If you're a good person, you
Right.
then become generous with your affluence and you help the world or help people in your country who are downtrodden. You can have both and you should have both. You should not be greedy if you have affluence. And I think that's what people are seeing in America is that it's just greed is good as it was in Wall Street. And I think
Isn't
there, Michael Douglas keeps forgetting. You know, that was a bad statement. It's like that was not a
That's not
positive,
good. That was
everybody.
not positive. His name is Scott Galloway. I just found
Thank
it
you.
real quick while we were chatting there. And he said, quote, "When somebody is so severely addicted to drugs, they can't get their shit together at the White House. I don't think that's the right role model," was one of the quotes from this interview, as you said, on the Piers Morgan show. And Galloway just absolutely ripped Musk over reportedly making the salute, and then sued for custody of his children for not ever seeing them. And he said he should not be a role model. And he what was one of the quotes earlier? So I would, I'm quoting Scott Galloway here. He said, "So what I would ask of all of us is to look at what money has done to us. That if someone can land a rocket or create a great EV, he's a genius. He's the wealthiest man in the world," he continued. "But does that mean we should, or he sh we should cause depravity? Does that mean, unlike Bill Gates, he's not using his billions to help people? He's not planting trees, the shade of which he won't sit under." And he concluded his takedown, which left both Kevin O'Leary and Morgan kind of gobsmacked, he said, and speechless. He said, "I think this is an individual who has literally come off the tracks, who is rapidly addicted to drugs and is using his immense power to get people elected, and that too many of us excuse what is abhorrent behavior. I think his legacy is not going to be an EV or putting rockets into space. I think it's going to be unnecessary death, disease, and disability of the world's most vulnerable. And that is not what it means to be an innovator. It is not what it means to be an American, and it's not what it means to be a man."
An American talking to a Brit and a Canadian.
Yeah. It's wild, right?
So
It's really.
I thought that was very good. I mean, he actually talked about Bill Gates, who became very rich and now giving his money away and trying to
He's
solve.
literally given the majority of his fortune to help the world when there will be nobody like him to help the world.
Seems that's where we're going. Sad.
It is a little crazy. I wanted to talk a little bit about the wildfires because I don't know about you, but I'm having that PTSD of having lived in the wildfires for a couple of years and then seeing what has happened across the sky. Who knew there was that much to burn?
I know. I think that's what most
Right?
Canadians are going, what? Saskatchewan and Manitoba have forests? What? They have fires?
Yeah.
What? They have what?
The boreal forest. So in Manitoba, I kind of get it. Like the people of Flin Flon and the First Nations that have like have no roads. There are no roads. There are 10,000 lakes in Manitoba. So you are caught in it, and watching some of those. I mean, I really send out our
Of
unspun
course.
hearts to those who are in it. And but while the statistics are showing that there are the same sort of on average number of wildfires right now burning in Canada, and they're on average at the right time of year for wildfires in Canada, they're 10 times the area burnt. So for those who are like, "We always have wildfires," it's like, yeah,
I think
but
it's
we're not.
interesting because we haven't talked about the science. Remember when we were having our wildfires, and it was basically 2 years in a row, it was terrible. Well, last year was fine. I can't remember the year before if it was fine. I forget now.
No,
But it
we've had three, four solid years of brutal wildfires, two of them very, very
Right.
close to larger cities. Like one burned
Yeah.
all of Kelowna, and one
Yeah.
burned all of the interior of BC, and one year we had more on the coast when it got tinder dry, and we had the big ones on Sunshine Coast, Vancouver Island here. So it's kind of like moved around the province a bit, but
And most of us get impacted by the smoke that we all get to experience, which was,
unless you live in
but
Kelowna or Kamloops.
yeah, well, wherever you're in the heart of the fire, obviously. But I guess it begs a question on science, which I haven't heard a lot about lately in BC. Like, what happened, statistically? Because one of the things that was people argued that each of these fires was, or the time, and it was this whole controlled burning that wasn't happening. And are we now, given these vast amount of fires that have burned in BC and now we're seeing them over? It's just a question. I don't know. Is there a correlation between the fact that we didn't, that we will, if we have less fires over the next 5 or so years, Is it because we had those big fires and we burned off this stuff? I don't know the answer. I'm just curious because I haven't heard that discussion in BC and since the fires about the math of fires, the math of and the how do we manage these fires? Like, what happened? We say we're
We're
going to fund.
not scientists. We're not going to pretend to be scientists here on Unspun, but we do try and talk through like what's the narrative behind the news, and the things that I can garner from what I've seen is the reduction in precipitation, the higher, more sustained, hot, dry weather. I mean, it was 30 degrees in Manitoba in like the beginning of May, which is not typical. Like it, and it, and then it stayed there. So then it got super dry. And then the low system comes in and the winds are so strong. And that's what burned down Lahaina. It wasn't that there was a wildfire, it was that there was a wildfire with hurricane strength wind sustained for days. And there's no stopping a fire that's burning sideways, and sending embers, kilometers down the road. It's beyond. Like you could do a controlled burn, but it could jump that. Like that's what they're starting to talk about. And then sometimes you can be doing a controlled burn and the winds change and then you're screwed.
You're screwed.
So Mother Nature is not playing right now.
No. Associated but not associated. Did you see that clip of the weather guy in Florida talking about the cuts to the Weather Service of America under Elon because of Elon Musk? Is that he said this will be my last probably ability this year to be able to predict what's happening because all the cuts to the weather balloons and
With
all that stuff.
balloons,
I won't be able to predict the next hurricane and next this or next. This guy was going on a limb. I'm not sure if he still has his job. This is the challenge of it predicting not only predicting weather is not about us going to the beach. As much as that's nice, it's much more complex than that. And I think that cutting
It's
those
for
kinds of things is.
aeronautics, it's for farmers, it's for preparation for storms, like knowing that something's
Life.
coming. Knowing that something's coming, you can get people out of harm's way, right? There is a massive storm coming our way. Go to higher ground because you don't want that huge lineup of traffic in the midst of a huge tropical depression or worse in Florida. That would just be a nightmare. Same to be said about believing, the bluster of politics, believing that that will shift science is just so broken. Just while we were sitting here, I got a breaking news alert that a small child in southern Ontario just died of the measles. Completely preventative, preventable, excuse me. I mean, all but eradicated. But now, anti-vaxxers, that one's on you. That one's on you.
Southern Alberta is really bad. It's and we all have we you know we I think our kids are around the same age or the youngest, but my oldest, I remember in the late 90s when that article came out about the anti-vaxxing and all
Oh
these
my God.
parents were talking, well, I'm not gonna get, that was a big discussion when the kids were a little bit, when Evelyn was, so she's 29 this year, so in the late 90s it was a big discussion.
It was when our boys were that age. I toiled about it. I was Jenny McCarthy had just bounced around on Oprah's couch, and the journal in The Lancet was in there, and it was just, oh my God, like, am I actively going to be harming my child by giving him this? Like, should I spread it out? Is there a way to take them apart? And my pediatrician said, first and foremost, she pointed to her twin boys on the wall and said, those are my boys. They are vaccinated. I have been doing this for 25 years. And do you honestly believe that I would knowingly harm your child? No. And she said, if you do not vaccinate your child, I cannot be your pediatrician. And I said, okay, vaccinate my child. And I cried all the way home driving. Because I wasn't sure. And now I'm so, my child is about to graduate from high school. He's 6'1". He's very healthy. He's never had the measles, mumps, nor rubella. But I do know people who have kids who have had all of those things because they did not get childhood vaccines. And it's like, that is needless illness. I mean, so think about it. Think about it. Talk to your physician. I know you love your naturopath, but please talk to your actual scientific doctor. And that's not a shot at naturopaths, because a good naturopath would say you should have both.
I have a new doctor after 30 whatever years of my doctor. He finally retired. He's been my doctor since I was 22. My new doctor, who I managed to get because he's
Yeah,
across the hall from my
congrats.
current, thank you. And he in the, one of the questions, how do you feel about vaccines? I said, hook me up. Hook me up. Just jam them into me. He's
Right
like,
there, one here,
okay.
two
He's
there.
like, calm down. Okay. Got it. Got it, buddy. So he thought I was a bit extreme. I was like, I'm just jamming on me. I trust the system. I trust the doctors. I'm not a
That's
scientist.
right.
But you know, I mean, there's so much information out there that confuses people. And as a parent, I remember that going, you know, and I was
Yeah.
having that debate with my first kid and my, you know, Pernilla. And so it was not a, it was pretty
It's
ugly
hard.
conversation to have, like,
It
because,
can be scary. Yeah.
yeah.
Being a parent's hard. So take a
Both
big
our
deep
boys are
breath.
6'1". Actually, both my
There we
boys are
go.
6'1". And they're
That's
like,
wild.
just like me, I'm 6'1" in my mind.
Yeah, I'm 5'9".
Yes.
No. Okay, we got to go. We're over 30
Okay.
minutes. We promise everybody we won't be. So follow us on social media. You can go to unspunpodcast.com is our website. So you can sign up and watch and whatever. But you can get the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Share it with your friends. Follow along on Twitter. George is great on Twitter. He is George
Underscore. Whoosh.
Affleck, George underscore Affleck. And I'm at Jody Vance, Jody with a Y, at Jody Vance. That's Unspun for this week. See ya.
Bye.